So this morning, the title of this message, and you're going to go, well, I don't remember seeing that in the Bible. So just bear with me. The title is called, We Need to Quit Carrying Our Buckets. We need to quit carrying our buckets. So in John 4:4, it says, Now he, Jesus, came to the town of Samaria, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from a journey, sat down at the well, and it was about noon. When the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, Will you give me drink? And the Samaritan woman said to him, You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Now, most of us are familiar with this particular story out of John, but I'm going to kind of briefly summarize. You know, as the story progresses about the woman at the well, we learn that this woman regularly came to the well every day. Most all the women did. They came early in the morning or later in the evening. Why? Because it was too hot during the middle of the day. So, again, most of them came at a certain time. But again, this woman regularly came during the noontime. The reason is because she had been married five different times and was currently living with an unrepented sin by living with a boyfriend at the time. Now, these circumstances of her coming at the time that she did, because, again, the sixth hour, they call it the sixth hour, that's when she came to the well. Well, in our modern day, the sixth hour is noon. So she came at noontime is when she showed up. So the circumstances pointed to the fact that she had the desire to avoid the shame that she was going to receive if she would have came at the same time as the women did in the morning. She avoided it by coming at noon by herself, so she wouldn't get the staring eyes and the whispers and the judgment. So she avoided it by coming at noon. And yet Jesus, in his divine compassion and his love, sought to meet this special or specific woman at a specific time. And through this conversation with the Samaritan woman, we see Jesus revealed himself three times through the story. He reveals himself three times in three different ways, three different things. So the first thing Jesus is revealing is the living water. In John 4:10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So right here, he is saying that he is the living water. He is the wellspring of life. Okay? Secondly, Jesus is saying in chapter 4, verses 16, he's revealing himself as the prophet. So not only is he the living water, he is the prophet. She says, he told her, go call your husband and come back. And then she replies, I have no husband, she says. Jesus says to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man that you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman replies, I can see that you are a prophet. So, there's two things that have been revealed so far. When she realizes this, she's shocked. She's shocked that the truth of his words and the exposure of her own sin. And then she realizes, as her eyes begin to open up, not just physically, wait a minute, what did he just say? He knows about my five husbands. He knows about the boyfriend I'm living with. He knows my sin. But she also realizes who he is now. She's realizing that he is that living water, and that he is that prophet, and that he is what? The Messiah. Because Jesus, she's revealed as Messiah. And it goes on in John 4:24-26, the woman replied, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things Jesus said, and Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. So now she's been shown that he's told her that he's the living water. He's proved to her that he is the prophet by what he said to her about her sin and about what's going on in her life. But then he also says that he is the Messiah. He says, I who speak to you am he. This woman knows a little bit about what she's talking about, because doesn't she say, I know the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us of all things. Now, if you read in the scripture, there's a little bit more detail than this. But this woman knows a little bit about what to expect and what's, you know, what sin is and what how she can receive that salvation. She understands that there's a hope, okay? She understands that. So, I want to go to the last three verses. And that's why it brings us to the title that we have today. So the last three verses of chapter 4, verses 27, it says, and at this point, okay, this is when she realizes that he is the Messiah. After this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with this woman. See, they had went on before. When he went to the well, Jesus instructed the disciples to go to market and buy food. So they were gone. So he made a way where he could personally get on a one-to-one with this woman at the well. Okay? So, but then, after that conversation, who shows back up? It says, and at this point his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? In the last verse then. Then they went out of the city and came to him. She could not wait once she realized who Jesus was. That she could not wait, that she immediately went into the city, into the town, and told others of who Christ was, and that he was that she believed that she had found the Messiah or met the Messiah. So, the thing is this: out of those last verses, what was the first thing that she did? She dropped her water pot. We call it a bucket today. She dropped her water pot, her bucket, and she went into the city. The bucket in which she had come to fill up with water, but instead she got something greater than that. She got water poured down deep into her soul, down deep into her spirit, from a deeper well than she would have ever thought possible. And it's from a well that will never run dry. How many times in our lives have we tried to carry our buckets, and we try to fill them up with our things, our purpose, our plan, and yet it weighs us down. It weighs us down. We depend on other people or other relationships. Isn't that what the woman at the well did? She depended totally on a relationship with a man. That's what she thought was going to fill the void that she had, that emptiness in her life. She thought another person would fill that void. How about titles? When I was younger, I thought, oh, an LPN, a licensed practical nurse, wow. I really thought I had something. And yes, that's an awesome occupation to have, absolutely. I loved working in the medical field. But to be honest with you, I wanted the title. I wanted the title. It was intriguing. Or, you know, recognition. I'm being very open and honest with you. I wanted to stand out. I wanted to be somebody. I wanted to be successful. I think we've all been there at one point, maybe a little bit, maybe a lot. Or maybe it's material things, a new home, a new car, and there's nothing wrong with having these things. There's nothing wrong with them. But are they your God? are they your God? We want a name for ourselves. These are all things. I was going to bring a bucket today, and I thought, well, maybe for kids' church I would do it, but I was going to put a bucket in the center of the altar here, and I was going to start throwing things like that in there. Success, material things, all those things, and put it in that bucket, because that's what the woman was doing. She didn't realize that that was what she was doing. By going and having five different husbands. You know, Jesus' encounter with this woman brings to light four different things or four different beliefs that we as Christians should take note of today. First, Jesus alone is the living water that fills our void. And again, it's not a bad thing to have things, but don't let it be the thing that that you love more than God. And just as the Samaritan woman was looking to men to satisfy her soul, we also, like I said, look to things outside of Christ to give us our hearts, and our lives a purpose, a meaning. However, Jesus, praise God, because of his compassion and his love, Jesus revealed himself to that woman at the well, again, that he was what? The living water, that he was the prophet, and that he was the Messiah. And he sought to show her that he was that never-ending water source, that living water, so that she would not thirst again. See, every time she tried something in the world, it lasted for a while. It took the thirst temporarily, but after a while, she moved on. And then she moved on, and she moved on, and she moved on, and she moved on. And that's what we do when it comes to the things of the world. And, you know, depending on relationships, we find ourselves in a period, over a period of time, we move on. Because it's not enough. It doesn't fill that void. So, when we put our faith and our trust in Christ, in the living water, we can bank on the fact that that well will never run dry. And will not fill that void. Will not experience that continual void over a period of time. And that Jesus will never get tired of us. And that Jesus will never be dissatisfied with us. And he will never turn away from us. And who's to know? Maybe one of these husbands that this widow or the Samaritan woman had, maybe her husbands were cheating on her. Maybe that was part of the problem that gave her that insecurity, that caused more of a void, more of an emptiness than she already had. So, he is the unending source of peace and joy and self-control and love and hope. The great thing is, listen to this, John 10:10. I have come that you might have life and that you would have it more abundantly. The thing here is this. We are given that living water. In that living water comes that love, that joy, that peace, that self-control, that hope, that joy. All of that comes with that living water. It's on a daily basis. But doesn't he just say here in John 10:10, and that it would be given to you in abundance, every single day. What's it say? Not to worry about tomorrow for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow for tomorrow will take care of itself. We know it's going to come. We know there's going to be issues coming tomorrow. But again, when tomorrow comes, we're going to have the abundance of what we need for tomorrow. Let's take care of today. How do we do that? By trusting in the one who is the one that has the living water, by the one who is the prophet, by the one who is the Messiah. Secondly, Jesus is not fazed. Jesus is not fazed by our sin. The woman perceived Jesus as a prophet because he gently called out her sin. And she said, he told me everything I ever did. Jesus is sovereign, and he sees the sins that we have within us. He sees the sin. He knows our desires, our shortcomings, and yet he still pursues us. He still pursues us. He still wants that relationship with us, even though we come up short. Every single day we're going to come up short. But still, every single day he's there and wanting to pursue us. He's wanting to walk with us. He's wanting to be with us 24/7. and he's not surprised. Was he surprised by this woman and her sin? Absolutely not. He's not surprised by our evil desires, our shortcomings, but rather he seeks to reconcile us to the Father. In Romans 5:8, God shows his love for us that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. It was a complete package. It's a good package deal for us. Thirdly, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. So just as the Samaritan woman did not fully understand, she didn't understand who he was. She didn't understand that he was not only the one that was going to be the one that will have the endless well of living water. She didn't understand that. She didn't understand that he was the prophet and that he knew all of her sin, and yet he was still wanting to meet her at the well and show her a hope, a future, a promise. He knew her sin, and she was in sin at the time. And yet he still pursued her. And yet he even tells her he's the Messiah to put a hope in her. He didn't say, "I'm the Messiah, shame on you." He said, "I'm the Messiah, I'm here for you." Sometimes when we go through our daily walk, yeah, we know that that living water is there, and we know that that well is never going to run dry, and that that hope, that truth, that wisdom, that all those, that joy, that peace, all those gifts that come with the living water, we know that they're endless, and we know that they're available 24/7 every single day. But yet there are times when Satan comes in and he tries to put doubt in us. Oh, there's no way. There's no way he's going to forgive you for this one. This was called an iniquity sin. You knew you were going to do that. You knew you were going to do that, and you did it anyway. How would you expect God to forgive you for that? He did. That's part of the package deal that comes along with accepting Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Not only do you receive healing, salvation, faith, there's so many things that come with that package deal, the promises of God. You know, I love this. It says, it is only in Jesus that we will be saved from our sins and made new in Christ. Get this. Jesus puts our sin and shame to death on the cross. So when we're going through that season of guilt and shame, Satan certainly doesn't want us to remember Jesus took that shame and he took that guilt and he put it on the cross and it was nailed there and it died there. That died there that day when Jesus died on the cross for us. And all we can do when Satan tries to throw guilt at us and shame, we can just remind him. Just remind him, hey, oh no, that was nailed to the cross. It's dead. It's a dead thing. It's deader than dead. Jesus took care of it. So he gives us a new desire then. Because when we realize we don't have to carry around that bucket anymore, we can be set free from that. That we realize that void is being filled up with that living water, with the Word of God, that promise, the love, the compassion, the understanding, the forgiveness, the patience. But doesn't it, because that void is now filled up, we don't have to keep thinking, I gotta fill this vessel up. I gotta keep filling this vessel up. But eventually when you reach in that bucket and you start grabbing what's in that bucket and you start filling it up, that bucket's gonna run dry. Or it's not gonna be enough. But the great thing is that well that God, through his son Jesus, gave us never runs dry. But then, now our focus is not on going to that bucket and filling our vessel up. Our focus is now on the purpose that we're here for. Our focus is no longer on that, but our focus is now on the purpose of what God has for us. So, fourthly, because of the Messiah and the magnificent sacrifice that he made, just like that woman at the well, the first thing she wanted to do is she wanted to go tell everyone. She wanted to go tell everyone and exalt his name. We are called every single day to what? To take up our cross, to take up our cross and to follow him. How do we do that? We do that by using the gifts and the desires that God has given us, the gifts, the desires, the time, the money, our tithes and offerings, our missions, blessings. All of these things are ways that we can show and honor God through our actions. The living water that is given to us is free, is freely given to us, and Christ becomes that wellspring of life. So we come to Christ to be filled, to be forgiven, and the void, again, like I said, that is now filled up by Christ. There's no more void there. It overflows with his desires, what he has for us, his purpose, to proclaim his excellency. And the great thing is that when we share that, just like the woman at the well, what we're doing is we're making nations or disciples of all nations when we do that. And that was the first, she didn't comprehend that when she went to the town and she was telling everyone about what Jesus did for her. She wasn't comprehending the fact that she was making disciples of all nations. All she wanted to do, because she had all this excitement, and for the first time, she didn't have that void. She wasn't experiencing that void. She was experiencing the full love of God. And that was her way of expressing that. She had so much in her, she had to share it. So just as the Samaritan woman saw Jesus as a treasure, that's what we're to do. We're to see Jesus as a treasure, that she wanted to share that joy of what he had done for her, what he had bestowed upon her. That's what we're to do. That's what we can take from this message today. We no longer need to take the next best thing that comes up when we watch a commercial. We do not need to try a new thing, because Jesus is the greatest thing that could ever happen to any of us. Think about it. Paul, he had a bucket of religious tradition. He thought fulfilling that void that he had had to do with the fact that you have to follow the religious traditions of the law, to the point where he was murdering Christians because of their belief and their walk and their faith in Christ Jesus. What a bucket to have to carry. He felt that it was his place to determine whether someone lived or died or not because of their beliefs. What a bucket to have to carry. Think about the bucket that you're carrying today that you shouldn't be carrying. How about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus had a bucket of pride and money. He had probably a whole bucket of money. But along with that money came what? Notoriety, popularity, pride, cheating. I wouldn't want to carry that bucket. Did it with either Paul, when he was carrying that bucket of religious tradition, did it fill the void? Absolutely not. He sure gave it a good try. Zacchaeus, he kept, you know, cheating people out of money and whatever. And it never filled that void. But once they found Jesus, that void was filled to overflowing. Amen? So, all of us here today have tried material things. And as much as we like these material things, it's never enough. And it's never going to fill that void. You know, maybe we've worked long hours when we were younger for a promotion that never happened. Or because we thought the promotion and the title would make us somebody. Just like I said, I thought, oh, I'm going to be a nurse. My parents would be so proud of me. But to be honest with you, it wasn't in here. I mean, I was singing in churches at the age of 18, 17 years old. That was in here. But I certainly didn't believe in myself enough to get, you know, to stand, not stand out, but to do it as a ministry. Never thought that I was good enough. See, that's the thing about Satan. He'll get your focus on the things of the world and what, you know, like I said, be a nurse. Everybody will be so proud of you. Everybody will think you're just all that and then some. But it wasn't here. I didn't have it in here. I did it. I enjoyed it. I learned from it. And I got to meet a lot of people. I got to minister to a lot of people. But it wasn't music, singing about the Lord, ministering in song was in here. The other did not fill that void. But when I started realizing what was in here and I started using it, that's when that void started going away. So maybe if we think about, is there a void in my life? Why is that void there? Maybe we can understand a little bit about where the woman at the well was coming from. Because after all, she kept going from one man to another, to another, to another, to try to find a way to fill that void. We can come here every single Sunday, and we can make up our minds before we leave this place that we're not leaving here empty-handed, that we're going to take the Word of God, and we're going to place it in our souls, in our spirits, in our minds, in our hearts. And then when we walk out of here, we're going to do the same thing that woman at the well did. We're going to spread it. We're going to tell others about it and what God did. What God did for us. How God filled that void that only God can fill it. The thing is, when she left that bucket, she went and told everyone, come meet a man. That's the last thing she said that we see in the scriptures. Come meet a man. And just like her, as I said earlier, at one time I met a man. And while I was trying to fill my life up with buckets, the things of this world, the titles, the promotions, the successes of this world, but when I met this man, what he gave me was the greatest thing I could ever, ever receive. And those things that at that time didn't seem to have a purpose now do. And those titles that I'd been working for didn't matter anymore. Not at all. The pain of the past, the disappointments of the past, they got pushed out of the way. They got pushed out of my life. And what took its place was that living water that overflows every single day of my life now. So church family, this morning I ask you, and I come to say, come and meet a man. One thing I must have passed up, the great thing is that God is no respecter of person. And he will take you as a sinner no matter what you've done. Amen. Let's go ahead and close with prayer. Heavenly Father, as we consider the Samaritan woman at the well who came to Jesus and heard his message and chose to drink that living water that he offered her so willingly. Father, it is wonderful to know that no one is excluded. No one is excluded from drinking this living water of life that you offer us so freely. So Father, we thank you that living water you offer is freely given and comes without a cost and becomes a living spirit spring of water within us that wells up every single day. May we drink deeply from this fountain that you supply and that it is in an abundance and that well never runs dry. That you supply and help us to resist the temptation of doing things on our own in our own strength as we trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.